Chapter 7. Vengeance Delayed. Felinia scouted out her target from a nest of coolant vanes jutting out over Liberty Square. Behind her was a warren of pokey offices where hundreds of Terran bureaucrats worked, monitoring Kiovar and Deliverance for the Imperium. She enjoyed the irony of planning a bombing while only meters away from the agents of galactic government. Liberty Square occupied the intersection of five roads in the Krav Administration Center. It was a good choice for the Children of Deliverance's latest statement. A big space, difficult to police, but small enough that the force of the bomb would be contained and thus redoubled. Collateral casualties were unavoidable, but those standing on the parade route would be sycophants, she reminded herself, cheering on the Tech Guild representatives. Some people had short memories. A statue of Korax looked north from the center. In a sense, he would bear witness to the act of defiance. She hoped it would please him when he heard about it. She identified precisely four places that the bomb would have the most effect in terms of display. She was a killer at heart, and her overriding goal in life was to make the tech guilds bleed. She had to remind herself often that the main purpose of the coming action was not death, but propaganda. The explosion had to be bloody. It had to kill as many of the tech guilders as she could manage, but more than that, it had to be spectacular. The guilders had to be afraid, just like her ancestors had been afraid, and her parents were still afraid. Felinia had been born 6 years after the coming of the Emperor. Following the liberation of Deliverance, her family had relocated to Kiovar. Her parents had expected a new, fairer world, but a stigma attached itself to the ex-prisoners and followed them at every turn. A few fine sentiments from a Primarch were insufficient to overcome centuries of cultural prejudice. Her people were pariahs, even among the workers of Kiovar, who were almost as oppressed. Maybe this she could have borne, were it not for the fact that those responsible for generations of suffering remained in power. The Mechanicum ostensibly ruled Kiovar, but the guilders were still in control of everything beneath regional government level. They chafed under the rule of the Priests of Mars and vented their frustrations against those still beneath them. The Lyceans, they were still called that by the guilders, were particularly abused. Jobs were impossible to come by. Accommodation, food, medicine, for everything needful to life. The once Lyceans were at the back of the line. Her own privations were nothing compared to the stories of how much worse things had been. At first, her parents had spoken of their suffering proudly. In those naive days of hope, their memories were a mark of indomitability and righteousness, when deliverance from injustice was fresh, and the people looked to a bright future with Korax as their ruler. Then Korax had been taken away by the Greater War. The Mechanicum had come and settled over the existing power structure like a red robe. The body beneath remained the same. As the years went by and the injustices piled up, the stories of Lyceus were told with increasing bitterness. Felinia was born into a world of disappointment. Her governing emotion had been anger. A youth of petty resistance led to time in detention. At least the prisons were gentler than they had been. When the Children of Deliverance had come calling for her at the age of 17, she joined without a second thought. She took to their training well, so well she had never done anything else in her life but rebel. The Children of Deliverance provided everything she needed to do so. The first choice for the sighting of the bomb was down at the curb. There was a utility slab to the left of Korax's plinth she could stash it under, but if the conduits beneath were inspected, it would be found. The blast would be lessened by the slab. Casualties would be low. The incident would be minor. She discounted two other sites suggested by her instructions, one a traffic monitor and another behind a support holding up the building she was in to make a cloister over the pavement. The blast would be difficult to direct from either of them. Most of it would go into the crowd. A few deaths were to be expected. Too many would turn the populace against the children. Her favoured site was a lumen tree, and it was not on her list of recommendations. They were fools for missing it. It was perfect. The lumen tree was one of four giant steel and glass sculptures around the statue, 40 meters tall, with 12 lamps arrayed around the sides and top. There was an access hatch in the base that would take seconds to open. If she pushed the bomb down to the bottom of the inspection compartment and back into the cabling, it would likely not be found, even if the lumen needed maintenance. The tree's metal was thin and would be turned by the blast into a cloud of shrapnel that would scythe down the marchers. If she adapted the bomb to give it the properties of a shaped charge to direct the force up into the road, she could limit deaths in the crowd. The blast would certainly bring down the lumen tree. It would be seen along all the roads leading to the square. Best of all, Korax's statue would bear witness to it. She would have to fool the internal sensors that it had not been opened, but there were operatives working within the state who could perform that duty. She could bypass the children's command carder and call in a couple of favours. Her contact had said it was big. She would make it the biggest action she could. That was it. That was the perfect spot. Korax's mission was not finished. He couldn't possibly have wished to abandon the people to this half-formed tyranny. He had a larger struggle. It was up to the likes of her to continue the fight at home on his behalf. He would be saddened by the loss of life, but he would be glad to see the oppressors suffer. The children of Deliverance were sure of their mission. It was up to her to make the Tech Guilds pay.